chapter 5, as we continue in our Sunday morning exposition of this wonderful epistle. We do have a fill-in sheet available. If you don't already have one, you can raise your hand now, and our ushers can bring you one if you find that useful. By all means, don't use it if you don't want to, but if you would find that helpful, there's a couple of hands raised here, okay? If it helps you to focus and to take some notes down, then I trust that will be a help to you. Right, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22 to 24. We've been memorising them, Lord willing, tonight. We will have a new memory verse, but these words should now be nice and familiar in your heart and in your mind. Ephesians 5, and what I'll do actually is I'll read from verse 18 to 24 so we can be reminded of the context this morning. Ephesians chapter 5, reading from verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Saviour of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And the title of the message this morning is Harmony at My House. Harmony at My House, and I've given it the subtitle, The Spirit-Filled Wife. Okay, we talked about the Spirit-Filled Life, now the Spirit-Filled Wife, okay? Harmony at My House, The Spirit-Filled Wife. Lord, we ask for your help this morning. We thank you for, again, the opportunity to be here in your house, to hear your word, to sing your praises. Thank you for those who have made the efforts to be here this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would take the word of God as it is spoken and minister it just to every heart and every life here. Lord, even for those who may at first think, well, this doesn't really relate to me, I'm not married yet, or there could be other thoughts, we just pray, Lord, that would not be the case, that they would still be able to receive something from you this morning, that your word would be applied to their heart, to their context, to their situation by the Spirit of God. Challenge the men too, Lord, even in an indirect way through today's message, and we ask for your blessing in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. In verse 18, we have that very significant command, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And we did a whole message on that, the command to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And to be filled with the Spirit of God is to give him control of my life, to allow him to take all of me and every part of me. And what we see now is that the apostle demonstrates that when we are filled with the Spirit, that will have a practical outflow in various areas of our lives. And so we talked about the fact that the Spirit of God, or the filling of the Spirit of God, produces harmony in God's house. And we saw that in our last message, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, verse 19, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And so we can see that in God's house, the local church, when we are filled with the Spirit, it bears fruit in sacred worship, that mutual edification of one another through in song and glorifying the Lord thereby. We saw how it bears fruit in us giving thanks, the thankful spirit there in verse 20, and then verse 21, submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God. And so verse 21 really forms a pivot point, or a hinge, as it were, over to this matter of submission in several key areas. And so the Apostle Paul will expand on that theme of submission, and he'll deal with submission in the husband and wife relationship. He'll deal with submission in the parent and child relationship, and he will deal with submission in relation to servants and masters, or we could say employer and employee. And so these are all connected to the filling of the Spirit of God. And don't we need to get back to family life as God ordained it this morning? The world has largely disregarded God's design for the home, hasn't it? And what do we see as the result and as the fruit of that? Well, we see carnage, we see wreckage, we see chaos on every hand. But what a blessing it is to have a spirit-filled and spirit-controlled family life, to have Christ at the center of our homes. Spurgeon said this, "When home is ruled according to God's word, angels might be asked to stay with us and they would not find themselves out of their element." I don't know if an angel would be comfortable at my house sometimes because we're not always very angelic, okay? But we're trying, okay? But that's an interesting little thought there. But as one other writer put it, the problem is that too many homes are an outpost of hell instead of a parcel of paradise. That's true, isn't it? And the kind of family life, we're just sort of laying a bit of groundwork here before we get into the text itself, the kind of family life that is described in these verses is only possible for those who are, number one, saved. Let's remember the context of the book of Ephesians, chapter 1 through 3, have to do with our position in Christ. And the only way you can be in Christ is by being saved, by turning from your sin and trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior. So that's absolutely foundational. You can't even begin to make homework or to lay any sort of foundation for your home unless Christ is first the foundation of your life. That is absolutely vital. The psalmist wrote, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? So this is why so many homes out there are so shaky today, is because they do not have any foundation in Christ or the word of God or the truth. So the only way you're going to have this kind of family life is if you're firstly saved, and then secondly, as I've already emphasized, you are spirit-filled. Okay, the filling of the Spirit of God is absolutely essential if we are going to live out the kind of family life that is described here. Let's be honest. Can the husband love his wife as Christ loved the church, except by the enabling power of the Spirit of God? Can the wife submit as Christ to her husband as she would unto Christ, except the Holy Spirit of God fill her? Can the child submit obediently to the authority of the parent, except they know something of the filling of the Spirit of God? Can you, as an employee, relate properly to your boss without the help of God? No, of course you can't. And so we need God's enabling grace and God's enabling power in order to live this way. Now, what is interesting, just as we observe something here about the structure of our text, there is the largest section here dealing with the family has to do with husbands and wives. There are 12 verses dedicated to the husband and wife relationship, whereas there are only 4 verses discussing children and parents and 5 verses discussing servants and masters. So right within this section we're dealing with of submission, and of family relationships, it is interesting to note that there are more verses and more words dedicated to dealing with the husband and wife relationship than any other relationship here in this section. I think that's very significant, isn't it? Because what this does is highlight the importance of biblical marriage, of the Christian home. You know, marriage is the bedrock of society. The first institution that God ordained was not the church, nor was it human government. The first institution that God created and ordained was marriage and the home. And it's absolutely vital that we have marriages that are built according to God's pattern, because the only way you will have a strong church is if we have strong homes. I pray often for revival in the homes. So what has this message got to do with our big prayer day yesterday? Well, in many ways, there is a connection there, even though we're praying for missions. We're not going to be a strong home base. We're not going to have any sort of spiritual strength in the church unless there is some spiritual strength in the homes. The church can only be as strong as the individual homes represented in it. And so we need strong homes if there's going to be strong churches. We need strong homes if there are going to be if there's even going to be a strong society. No wonder our nation's in a mess. with the breakdown of marriage and the breakdown of the home, we should not be surprised that we keep deteriorating as a nation, and so many people are so confused and so distraught out there because of shattered homes and shattered lives. And so we can see just at the outset here that obviously marriage is very important to the Lord. Is it any wonder that Satan has concentrated so much of his attacks against marriage? Think about that. Divorce, polygamy, cohabitation, immorality, and of course now the LGBT agenda are all part of Satan's agenda to try and break down the home as established by God. And so we need to get back to God's structure for the home, and we deal firstly with the spirit for wife. Now, it's very interesting as we go through here, just another observation. You'll notice that each time God deals with one of these relationships, he commences with the subordinate every time. So the first call and exhortation goes to the one under authority, not the one in authority. So you have the wife addressed first, then you have the children addressed first, then you have the servants addressed first. Now, I'm not saying that those in authority don't have responsibility. In many ways, as we will see, the greater responsibility rests in their hands. But it is interesting to see that as well, that God commences in each of these instances with the submission of the subordinate. It tells us it's something that God delights in, something that pleases God there, that we learn to submit to godly authority in our lives as a part of the outworkings of the Spirit-filled life. Well, with that in mind, let's consider now what God's Word has to say about the Spirit-filled wife in the home. And we'll call this Mother's Day message 2.0. Amen, ladies. All right. So we have three points to give you, three headings that will just guide our study this morning. But firstly, in verse 22, I'd like you to observe the exhortation to submission. The exhortation to submission. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And so this is the first specific example that Paul now gives of submission. He's already exhorted us in verse 21 to submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God, and now he narrows down to a specific area. Consider the mandate to submit there. There is a command or a mandate to submit. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. There is a command there. There is a command there to follow. Now, we need to define what the word submit mean. And how we're going to do that is we're going to consider what submission is not and what submission is. Okay, this verse is one that the unbelievers very often seize upon today to try and further their anti-Christian cause. And I remember there was an article a couple of years ago in the ABC how that, you know, apparently that some men misuse this verse. Well, if men misuse this verse, the problem's not the verse, the problem's the sinful man. Okay? It was a very biased study. They said that men that attend church sporadically are more likely to abuse their wives than any other kind of male. Okay? And they kind of made it, if you didn't read the article carefully and discerningly, you'd kind of get the idea that church-going men are the worst abusers of women. But actually, the key word was sporadically. Okay, the men that hardly ever attended church were more likely to abuse their wives, but it was the men that attended church most frequently who were the least likely, but they didn't tell you that part. Okay? So, we need to understand what this word means so that we have an understanding there. All right, submission. What submission is not? Submission is not, firstly, subjugation. Submission is not subjugation. You say, what is subjugation? Well, subjugation. Why did I pick that word? The word means the act of subduing and bringing under the power or absolute control of another. All right? So that's kind of the dictator profile. So submission is not subjugation. There it is. Okay? It's not this high-powered, dictatorial, total control of a woman. Okay? A wife can have her own thoughts. Amen, ladies? and even have her own opinions, and she can share those with her husband. Secondly, submission is not slavery. Very important you understand that, men. Your wife is not your piece of property. Okay, amen, ladies? Your wife is not your piece of property, men. She is your equal. She is your counterpart. And she is to be respected. She is to be adored. She is to be cherished. And she is to be valued. So submission does not make you inferior to your husband. In fact, this whole matter of submission has nothing to do with equality. And that's the problem today, is people try and make this out to be an equality issue, but it has nothing to do with equality. We understand that husband and wife are of equal standing before the Lord. This has to do with God's ordained authority structure for the home. Now you think about that. If you're going to take that logic that by submitting to your husband, that makes you inferior, what about in general life where you submit to authorities? Everybody out there, even non-Christians, have to submit to authorities. They have to submit to the police. If you submit to the police and they pull you over, that doesn't make you inferior in standing to that officer, does it? But you're under his authority. Okay, so by submitting to an authority, that does not imply that you are less equal than that authority. It is simply understanding God's structure as he has ordained. So submission is not subjugation. It is not slavery. Okay, your wife is not your piece of property. She's not a doormat. I heard of a Christian husband who would actually plan and think about things that he would ask his wife to do that he knew would be very hard for her to try and test her submission. Now, that's disgusting. That's wickedness. That's ungodliness. Let's not forget, men, as we get down the verses here, that you are supposed to love your wife as Christ loved the church. So don't just pull that verse out and say, look at this, this is teaching some form of, a slavery to men here, or some sort of, feministic, thing that's brought out from this. No. We're talking in the context of a husband who is supposed to be loving his wife selflessly as Christ loved the church. So, submission is not slavery, nor is it about equality. Okay, even within the Godhead, we discern an authority structure, yet all three members are equal, aren't they? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, triune God, three in one, are all members of the Godhead equal, yes or no? Yes. Philippians 2, speaking of Christ, said that he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But yet we find the Son submits to the Father. We find the Holy Spirit does not speak of himself but exalts the Son. So even within the nature of God, we see there is an authority structure. And we shouldn't therefore be surprised that God, the Creator, has ordained authority structures, therefore, for human society, for home, for church. Which, by the way, this is not part of the message, why I don't believe in this idea of an equal rule, where you have five men elders and we all have equal rule. Well, what happens? Who has the final say? Doesn't work, okay? Doesn't work in human family, doesn't work in human government, and I believe even we can find scriptural principles that would indicate there has to be a lead elder or a head elder in a church who can exercise some sort of leadership amongst other elders. Right, so what submission is not? Now, I think when it comes to the world's perspective on this, we should not be surprised that the natural man does not understand or cannot make sense of God's design for the home. So don't get blown off your feet by what's being circulated out there and what people's perceptions are of a Christian home with a wife submitting to her husband. The natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. They can't begin to understand what the Christian home is all about, nor can they begin to understand what they're missing out on either. True? So what submission is not? What is submission then? Understanding that submission is not subjugation, nor is it slavery or about equality, what is submission? We need to just define the word. The word submit is the exact same word used in the previous verse, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And it means to be subject to subordinate, to order oneself under a leader. Okay, it was a word that was used in the military of that day to describe a soldier's a soldier being under the authority of a commander, or of a servant being in submission to a master. Okay, that is the sense of the word. It's of being under someone's authority. I like this definition. The word primarily, we talked about this in our last message, the word primarily has the idea of giving up one's right or will. Okay, so it's about being under the authority, as God has ordained it, of the husband in the home. Now, a bit later on, we'll talk about some further qualifiers that will help you maybe with the question, well, when do I know I should submit or shouldn't submit? Okay, we'll deal with some of that question later on. So this word, submit, this same word was used to describe Christ, who was subject unto his parents, Luke 2:51. So that's where how it's used. Okay, it's also the same word that is used in Romans 13, verse 1, to exhort Christians to be, quote, subject to civil authorities. The word is also translated under obedience, 1 Corinthians 14:34. Under 1 Corinthians 15:27, obedient, Titus 2:5. Okay, so to be in submission to your husband is to be under him, not in the sense of being below him and inferior to him, but under him in the sense of being under his leadership. Okay? Now, maybe you might ask the question here, what about the husband? Does he ever have to submit? Okay? Well, it's interesting, isn't it, that right before the Lord exhorts wives to submit themselves to the husbands, we have in verse 21 this matter of submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, the context there is the local church. And I'll say this, while a husband does not submit to his wife in the sense of her being an authority over him, okay, she's not his authority, that would violate God's structure. While he does not submit to his wife in the sense of her being an authority over him, may I suggest, as we think about the word submission in the sense of yielding one's rights, I think, men, we should be able to see that in that respect, there's an application there that while we do not submit to our wives in the sense of them being an authority in our lives, we should, as husbands, seeking to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, be willing to yield our rights, should be willing to yield our desires at times for the benefit of our wife. Correct? So you can submit in that sense, in the sense of yielding your rights in love. And there'll be many times in Christian marriage where you will need to do that. And in fact, doing so is not an indication that you are not a good leader. It is an indication that you are a good leader. A servant leader, a Christ-honoring, spirit-filled leader, doesn't have to turn every little decision and every little discussion into a test of that individual's leadership. Do you realize that, men? You don't have to turn every issue that arises in the home as into a test of your leadership. You can defer in a spirit-filled manner and say, do you know what? You've got a point there, dear wife. Actually, I think you're right. Let's do it that way. Now, ultimately, you're still in the position of authority because you make the final decision. You have the final say. That's God's order. But you are yielding your rights, your opinions, in love to the wife and deferring to her. You thought, well, I thought this message was going to hit the wives this morning. Well, there's some challenges for the husbands along the way, okay? So we're trying to just build a bit of a balanced picture here from the Word of God. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. There can be a yielding of rights in a marriage, even on that part of the husband, praise God. And he can do that in love, because the love we're going to see that the husband is supposed to have is a love that gives, a love that yields to another, a love that is selfless. All right, so that's the definition of submission. If you're taking notes, I think I forgot to give you that. The definition of submission, number one. Number two, now, the decision of submission. Notice there, back in the verse, it says, wives, submit. What's the next word? All right, let's try again. Verse 22 there, wives, submit. What's the next word? Yourselves. So, the decision of submission, the decision lies with the wife. It is a voluntary thing. Submission really can't be forced and should not be forced. It is a voluntary thing by its very nature. So, please notice that the verse here does not say, husbands, make your wives submit. Does it say that? No, it doesn't address the husband here. It addresses the wife. It's like Christ is speaking directly to you, ladies. And says, ladies, wives, I want you to submit to your husband. Submit yourselves. So here we see the initiative in submission is to come from the wife. That's so important. Because without that, a husband's not going to be able to lead. And there's going to be all sorts of problems in the home. Because really, when it all boils down to it, he can't force you to submit. Okay, maybe outwardly he can force you to submit, but if in your heart you're not in submission to that leader, then that's going to create friction and problems in the marriage, isn't it? So it's something that's going to come from your heart, ladies. You've got to place yourself consciously under your husband's oversight and see it as God's structure and God's blessing for you. Don't see it through the feminist lens, will you? Okay, the feminists out there who want to lie to you that this is an archaic model that's outdated, that's all about the suppression of women. Okay? No, they don't understand. Don't get your counsel from the ungodly, from the natural man who don't understand the things of the Spirit of God. Don't get your counsel from the television stars. They're on their fifth marriage or their fifth partner and they've never been married at all. Okay? It's amazing how many people out there who've had all sorts of breakage in their lives, because they've had all that breakage in their lives, that now means they're qualified to talk about those very things they failed in. Do you get that? It's strange, isn't it, in the world? It's like, well, I used to do this, and then now, therefore, I'm an expert in that area. Anyway. So, the decision of submission. It's a voluntary thing. It needs to come from the wife. And the husband's job is to provide an environment of love in which his wife's submission can flourish. You have the greater responsibility, men. We have the greater responsibility, I believe, before the Lord, because our wives will find it easy to submit in an environment of Christ-like love. Is it hard to submit to a man who is striving with all his heart to love you as Christ loved the church? It shouldn't be. Okay? You say, but he's not perfect. No, but if he's trying, then give him a shot. I'm sure it's hard sometimes, isn't it, ladies? You think, oh, what a dingbat, you know. He's about to do that again. But you've got to place yourself under, and part of being a Christian wife is realizing that sometimes your leader is going to make some mistakes. He will make some mistakes. Trying to rub your hands with glee and say, I told you so. Okay, just pray quietly. And you might have to let him head plant a few times, okay? And learn that. But see, by you consciously placing yourself under his leadership, you can allow his leadership to grow. He's going to have to learn to be a leader. By the way, men, I'll get onto that later. All right, okay. We'll get onto that later. All right, so the mandate to submit, it is a command of the Lord to you, ladies. Okay, secondly, the motive to submit. Now, I think this really lifts it to a higher plane. You say, how can I do this? What's going to motivate me as a wife to do this? Well, look at it, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, backing up, I missed a point there. We have the decision for submission with the word yourselves. Then we have the direction of submission unto your own husbands. Okay? The direction of submission unto your own husbands. Aren't you glad you only have to submit to one man, not all men? Okay? One man's hard enough, isn't it? All right? So, your own. The word own there means one's own private, unique possession. There you go. You didn't realize that he really belonged to you. He does. All right? All right, so you submit to your husband, not someone else's, not somebody else, not some other man, but to your husband. The motive to submit now. That little phrase, verse 22, as unto the Lord. That lifts it to a higher level, doesn't it, ladies? Is anyone too warm in here? You're falling asleep on me? You're awake. Okay, no, you're awake. Good. They're nodding because they want the heater to stay on. All right. Stay awake. We'll be punished more and more for your sins, all right? Okay, as unto the Lord. The wife's submission there is to be done as if she was doing it unto Christ. Can you see how that will motivate you, dear ladies? This is ultimately a part of your relationship with your heavenly husband. the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not only in the husband and wife relationship, it's in any relationship. If we are out of sorts with God-ordained authorities in our lives, that means we're out of sorts with the Lord who gave those authorities to us. Okay, if you're out of sorts with the authority of the pastor, you're out of sorts with Christ who placed the pastor there in your life. If you're out of sorts with the authority of your husband in the home, then you're ultimately, that's going to affect your fellowship with the Lord himself who placed that husband in the home. If you're out of sorts as a child with your parents' authority, that means you're out of sorts in a very real way in your fellowship with the Lord as well. So it's all connected there. Part of our walking with the Lord is to submit to godly authorities in our lives. So that's the motive there. So the exhortation to submission. Secondly, the explanation of submission, verse 23. The explanation of submission. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the saviour of the body. Now, look there in verse 23, and can you see the first little word there, for? That is explaining to us a reason, okay? We could say it means because, all right? So here we have the wives commanded to submit to their husbands. Now we have a further explanation as to why. We have a reason given for you ladies as to why you should submit to your husband. And it's very clear you should submit to your husband because of God's ordained structure for the home. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and he is the saviour of the body. So we have the headship of the husband and the headship of Christ discussed in this verse. Firstly, the headship of the husband. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 3 says, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." That's God's word. And it doesn't matter how much society may jump up and down about this, we know God's design is best, and God has ordained headship. The head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Period. That's the word of God. Now, the word head in the Bible can refer to two things. It can refer to the literal head. You've got one this morning, hopefully. Okay? Or it can refer in a figurative way to a position of authority. So it can speak about the headship of Christ over the church. And in this case, it speaks of the headship of the husband over the wife and the home. So what does the word head imply? Or what does the word headship imply? Well, the word speaks of authority. Okay, he has authority under God within the home. And it also speaks of direction. Okay, the head is there to provide leadership. So we could say this, men, headship equals leadership, not dictatorship. Okay, headship equals leadership, not dictatorship. Now, the word of God is here instructing the wife. You are to submit. Why? Because your husband, in God's plan, is the head, is your head. I remember my grandma, often she referred to grandma, say, I'm very glad the Lord's given me a good head. And she would say, I'm glad that the Lord's called the men to be the head of the home. It's very gracious, had a good relationship, and she would often, she understood God's model in this. And so, the headship of the husband. Men, I think there's a little challenge for you here. This is how God views your position in the home. And sometimes we wrongly assume that within marriage problems, the problem is that the wife won't submit. Often that's the assumption. If there's friction in a marriage, oh, the wife obviously mustn't be submitting to the headship of her husband. Actually, sometimes you have a wife who desperately wants her husband to lead, but he won't. That is a huge problem today. It's not always the fact you have a rebellious wife who won't submit. Sometimes you have a man who abdicates, in a practical sense, his headship, a man who won't lead, a man who's just happy to sit back passively and let his wife take over, or just doesn't want to lead because he just wants to stay in his comfort zone. And men, that is inexcusable. God says that you are the head of the wife. Now, don't let that puff you up and get you feeling all like an inflated rooster this morning. If you are the head of your wife, that means responsibility. And I've always said that leadership is more about responsibility than it is about privilege. You know, people today, they perceive if you're in leadership, they automatically think that's a position of privilege. And very often that's how the world approaches it. I'm in leadership, therefore the rules apply to you, they don't apply to me, and they misuse their position. But in God's word, leadership equals responsibility. Yes, there are privileges associated with leadership, but leadership is more about responsibility. And we have a dearth of men today who will lead. May I just say, from my observation and from what I've heard of older men of God, a good Christian woman wants to follow her husband. If she's a spirit-filled woman, if she loves the Lord, in fact, even just the way God has made the woman, it seems to be it's instinctive in her, in a woman, as much as I don't admit it, to want to follow a man. But the problem today is we have a dearth, not just of women who know their role, but we have a dearth of men who will lead their families. Big problem. Sam Davison's been a preacher for many years, over 40 years there in America, and he's travelled extensively preaching in other churches. And he said a very typical family scenario that he sees in Bible-believing churches all across America and even other parts of the world is the scenario where you have a overly dominant wife and a passive husband. It's a huge problem. And may I just say, in my little short tenure in ministry today, I've seen it time and time again as well, where you might have a woman who desperately wants to follow God, a woman who loves Christ and would give anything if her husband would just be a leader, but he is so caught up in his hobbies and his petty pursuits and his selfishness that he abdicates very much his role and he does not lead. And that is inexcusable, men. If you want your wife to submit to you, then you be a man who is worthy of that submission. You be the head of your home. In a very real sense of the word. Don't be one of these passive men, passive husbands, happy just to coast along or to hand over responsibility of your home to your wife. Don't be a passive leader this morning. Be the head God has ordained you to be. So, leadership. The headship of the husband is likened to the headship of Christ over the church. We have the headship of Christ. Look back at verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as. So there's a simile, there's a comparison here. Even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the saviour of the body. Now, if you're taking notes, consider number one under that, what is similar in Christ's headship? What's the similarity here? Well, the husband's the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. Now, Christ is the head of the spiritual body of the church. And in a similar way, the husband is the head, the leadership head of the one flesh marriage unit. But there's something that is different in Christ's headship. We need to see there's a distinction here. While there is a comparison, while there is a parallel, there is also something different. There is something similar, okay? But there is something different as well, because there's a second clause there that says even as Christ is the head of the church and he is the saviour of the body. That's an additional thing, isn't it? And husbands, though our position is likened to the position of Christ over the church, we are not our wife's saviour. That's something that is reserved for Christ alone. He's the head of the church, and he adds here, he is the saviour of the body. So while there is a similarity between the husband's position and Christ's position, there's also a very important distinction. The husband is not a saviour in any sense of the word. He can be a protector, but he's not the saviour. The Lord Jesus is the saviour of his own body, the church. So, thirdly now, the application of submission. Verse 24. Okay, so we have the exhortation to submission, verse 22. The explanation of submission, verse 23. We have a further explanation there. Then we have now the application. We have the word therefore. So he applies it now more specifically. Therefore, as the church is subject under Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. The application of submission. Firstly, we notice the example of the wife's submission, or the example for the wife's submission. As the church is subject under Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands. So think about the relationship of Christ and the church. The church is in submission to Christ and Christ's authority, his headship. And in a similar way, the wife is to be in subjection to her husband. So what we're going to find in this passage, all the way through, we have these parallels drawn between Christ and the church, husband and wife. A beautiful picture. Human marriage is supposed to picture that divine relationship between Christ and his church. So the example for the wife's submission. If you want an example or an illustration, think about the church, okay? The church is subject to Christ as head, and so am I as the wife to be under my husband's authority and leadership. Secondly, the extent of the wife's submission. What is the scope of it? How far does it go? Husband, verse 24, therefore as the church is subject under Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in how many things? Okay. How dare you say that, preacher? I didn't. Okay, I just read what the word says, okay? So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So think about that. All right, the church is subject to Christ in all things. There is no area in the Christian's life that does not come under the headship of Christ, right? Okay, so in a similar way, in family matters, the wife does come under the husband's leadership in a very total and absolute way. Okay, we're going to give you some qualifiers here in a minute if you're getting scared about some different thoughts there. But let's just take the text here at face value. Okay, as the church is subject to Christ in every area, in all things, all right, there is no part of our lives that is to be kept outside of Christ's authority. So it is with the wife. She is to be completely under her husband's leadership. There is no area in home or life that he is excluded from. Now, this doesn't mean that a woman can't exercise initiative. It doesn't mean that she has to check every tiny detail with the day-to-day running of the household with the husband. How many of you husbands would want that to happen anyway? You're crazy. Let her run with it, okay? She's got scope within the home. That would be impossible, all right? But what it does mean is that she's to work within the framework the husband sets for her, and she is to be accepting of his leadership in all areas, all things, everything. All right, he should be able to lead in any area of your life as a wife, as long as he's leading within scriptural boundaries and not requiring something of you that's unscriptural or ungodly. And we'll talk about that a bit more in a moment. So the extent of the wife's submission. She is to be subject to her husband. She is to be under her husband's authority in everything. Right, now, let me just give you a few practical suggestions, ladies. Number one, uphold the authority of your husband in the home. It's very important, isn't it? Uphold the authority of your husband in the home. Don't usurp his authority, especially in front of the children. If need be, you might have to resolve a difference, discuss it privately. But don't undermine your husband in the home, especially in front of the children. You need to learn to uphold his authority in the home. Secondly, practical suggestions here. Remember that unlike Christ, your husband isn't perfect and he will make mistakes in his leadership. True? Yes. Forgiveness and grace are going to be needed for you, dear lady, and patience. And remember, you are his helpmeet, and over time you can help him to become a better leader, hopefully. Okay? Third practical suggestion here is some thoughts, musings. Bring things to his attention. Okay? Value your husband's leadership in the home. Have a no secrets policy. Okay? If you're to be subject to your husband in everything, that means you should not be keeping him in the dark in certain things. Right? It's gone very quiet. But some wives are masters at this. They're really quite autonomous, and they're up to all sorts of things, and there's all sorts of conversations going on the phone with other people, and the husband's in the dark, has no idea what's going on. That's not right. That is not right. You should not have secrets. Now, I understand sometimes in family life, isn't it a challenge just to actually find time to discuss things? It's not that you deliberately keep a secret. It's like, did I forget to tell you that? I decided that a week ago. I'm sorry. Okay, we understand, okay, that family life, let's be real here. But do you understand the point I'm trying to make? That if you as a wife are to be under your leadership, your husband's leadership in every area, then you should not deliberately be keeping him in the dark on certain things. Yeah? I think that's very important. Secret conversations with the mother-in-law and discussions about the husband behind his back. You shouldn't discuss your husband or your husband's faults with your family members, with your daughters. And as a mother-in-law, you absolutely should be very careful not to undermine your son-in-law's position. If your daughter's married, guess what? Hot off the press news. They left you. They left mother and father. So you need to let them go. Now, that doesn't mean that you just say, well, that's it, wash my hands, nothing to do with my kids anymore. No, you can be there as counsellor. And it's amazing, isn't it, how we end up trekking back to mum and dad for help, okay? You can be there to help your children, but don't be an interfering monster-in-law. No, there are some marriages on the rocks because of a mother out of control. There are marriages that have been broken by interfering parents. If your children have gotten married, yes, you love them, you're going to be there to try and help them, but be very careful that you're not making snide remarks or critical remarks about your daughter's new husband to her. Now, if she comes to you for counsel in a trial or there's some sort of major issue, well, you'll need the Lord's grace and help there. I'm not talking about the fact that there are going to be some difficult situations that have to be navigated, but we're just saying be very careful there about undermining not only your own husband's position, but the position of your son-in-law as well. Is that good, mums? Okay, getting a couple of mms from over there, but it's M&Ms from the rest of you there. Okay, now I'm not sure. I'm just trying to make the rubber hit the road a bit here. Some ladies, when they get married, they keep their mothers in touch with all the intimate details of their marriage, discussing things on the phone about with their mothers about what's going on. That's just not right. You've got to be very careful there to maintain the God-given boundaries. You've set up a new family unit. Okay, you're independent now of your parents, and God wants to establish your family as a separate entity. Maybe, ladies, just another suggestion: don't tell your husband off in public, in front of people. Give him an ear bashing later, okay? But be careful about that. Some wives do. I mean, I've seen situations, scenarios unfold where the guy's standing there looking like he swallowed, you know, 10 lemons, and his wife's just laid into him, pull, you know, just give him a hearty rebuke in front of other people. I don't think that's a good idea. you need to uphold your husband and encourage his leadership, not tear him down in front of others. Sure, help him out later. Like I said, we can be dingbats at times. We need your help. But think about how you do that. But try to view, ladies, if this is God's design, and God knows best, and he does, right? Yes? If this is God's design, try and view your husband's position in your life and in the home as a blessing. As a blessing to be embraced, not a burden to be put up with. Okay? God has placed him there. He's not perfect, but try and see God's order and what God has for you. Okay. Thirdly now, I want to just discuss briefly, what are the limits of a wife's submission? There are limits to all human authorities, aren't there? Right, we need to understand commands like this in light of other truth in the Bible. No human authority has unlimited power. If you have unlimited power concentrated in one man, you end up with North Korea. Okay? And so, whether it's the role of the pastor in the church, or parent with the child, or human government, authorities have limitations. In fact, the best authorities are those who understand they're under a higher authority. Okay, that's good for you, husband. Yes, you're the head of your home, but who's the head of every man? Christ. So there's someone above you that you answer to. And before you get too carried away with your headship, just remember the headship over you. And make sure that you're aligning your decisions to him and carefully considering what Christ thinks about how you're behaving. Okay? So, every human authority must function within God-given boundaries. So, if the government has its sphere, okay? Every authority has, you could say, their sphere or their jurisdiction. So, if the government decides to bring out a new tax, as much as we hate it, we hate tax, we have to obey that. We've got to submit. That's their realm. Granted to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Okay, rendered to all their Jews. Romans 13, custom to whom custom, tribute to him tribute, and so on. But if the government tells us tomorrow, you need, as Christians, you are no longer allowed to read your Bibles, should we submit to that or not? No. Why? Because they have stepped outside of their God-given jurisdiction, and they are now taking the place of God. They're now encroaching in an area that is directly under God's authority. So Christians down through the centuries have had to sometimes disobey the government and lose their lives. As I understand it, many of the early martyrs were actually model citizens in many ways. They would pray for their government, even though it was a vile, even though the Roman governments were very often corrupt and wicked, they would pray for their leaders and try to submit in every way they could, and yet they could not submit in the area of worship for Caesar, for example. So it is with the wife's submission. It would be wrong for us to claim that this gives the husband an unfettered position or unfettered power to demand anything from his wife, and she has to submit. Now, there's some people teach it that way. If your husband asks you to do something sinful, well, he's your husband, you've got to submit to him, and you've got to do it. I would say that's very bad counsel. Because we need to understand these other balancing truths in the Word of God, such as Acts 5:29, that tells us we are to obey God rather than men. So I've just outlined here two qualifying questions that a wife can ask to help her to determine whether she is to obey her husband or not. Maybe this will just help you. Number one, two tests. Does it pass the as to the Lord test? Okay, look back at verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Okay, what I'm being asked to do here, does it pass the as to the Lord test? In other words, can what I am being asked to do be done as unto Christ with a clear conscience? Can I do this as unto the Lord? Don't you think that's fair? Looking at the context here, you're being asked to submit in everything, but it's in the context of a husband loving his wife selflessly, and it's in the context of submitting as unto the Lord. So if your husband is asking you to do something sinful and against the Word of God, you can't do that as unto Christ, can you? So you shouldn't do it. Higher authority kicks in. I think men, we have to be careful. We do believe in individual soul liberty, and as men, we need to think very carefully about constraining our wives to do something that would violate their consciences before the Lord in a serious way. Okay, so if your husband asks you to co-sign a false declaration, you should say no. Don't submit to him on that. You submit to Christ, who's the head of that husband. All right? So does it pass the as to the Lord test? Secondly, does it pass the obey God rather than man test? Acts 5:29. And we could ask the further question based on that. Will obeying my husband mean disobeying the Lord? Okay, that's a good question, isn't it? Will obeying my husband in this case mean disobeying the Lord? If to obey your husband means to disobey the Lord, you need to obey the Lord and disobey your husband. That's correct, I believe. We ought to obey God rather than men. Now, in a spirit-filled home, Christian home, where things are, where there's harmony and it's built on the Word of God, hopefully this kind of scenario will never come up. Hopefully it won't. I mean, we can surrender our rights and our opinions. We can even submit with human authorities to something that we may think is a little unreasonable. Okay, but is it unreasonable or unscriptural? All right, so you've got to just think carefully about that there. But if you're being required or asked to do something against the clear teachings of the Word of God by your husband, then the higher authority kicks in. He has stepped outside of his role, because a biblical authority should only function within the boundaries of God's Word, correct? Right? Should only function within the boundaries set by God's Word. If you are stepping outside of that or violating the Scriptures as an authority, you should not be obeyed. Now, it's going to be very hard. I understand that perhaps when it comes to these, you know, to marriage situations, there's all sorts of scenarios flooding into your mind. What about this unsaved lady I know? What does she do there? Her husband doesn't want to go to church. We don't have time to delve into all those questions. I'm just seeking to outline the Christian principles here in God's Word that you can apply within the Christian context. Even if we can't answer every little question that you may have in that regard. So, those are two tests that I think a wife can apply. If she's unsure, can I do this as unto the Lord? Okay. Can I do it as unto the Lord with a clear conscience? And does this pass the obey God rather than man test? By obeying my husband, will that mean disobeying the Lord? If it means disobeying the Lord, then I need to yield to the higher authority. I need to submit to Christ first and husband second. Is that good? Okay. We'll leave it there, but the Spirit-filled wife. And you say, what about the men? Well, their turn's coming next week, ladies, so fear not, okay? But marriage as God intended, home as God intended, understand the balancing principles here within the context. And when it is followed, when the Spirit of God is filling the life, what a blessing home life can be. That's what we want, don't we? We want homes that are full of harmony because of the filling of the Spirit of God. Lord, we pray you bless us now. Seal these lessons to our hearts, we pray. Help us as husbands to recognise that it is that we bear a greater responsibility being in a position of leadership, and that one day we will give an account to Christ, who is our head, for our headship over our wives. So, Lord, help us to have the fear of God in our hearts and minds as men, that we would not be selfish in our leadership. Lord, help our wives, help ladies, Lord, to understand your mind and your design for them. And we pray that you would bless each marriage within this church, Lord, that each marriage would be strengthened, each home would be strengthened, and that, Lord, we would function according to your will and way in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.